So cognitive psychologists have claimed conspiracy theorists use a monological belief system. So what exactly does this system mean?
Okay, so that's a good point to start off. So a lot of the previous work that's been done trying to understand conspiracy theories and people who believe in conspiracy theories has sort of put forward this idea of a monological belief system. And what that means is it's the idea that once people become involved with conspiracy theories, that they end up sort of immersed in a web of conspiracy beliefs where they start to see that everything connects to everything else. It's kind of the stereotypical image you might have of someone who becomes obsessed with conspiracy theories and starts to interpret everything in the world as part of some grand, often sinister kind of plot. And that's a fairly common idea in a lot of the research that's sort of been done on conspiracies. And we wanted to sort of see if we could test that idea in a new way. And what we did with our project was we looked at the conspiracy forum on Reddit. So Reddit is a website with forums on many different topics, and it has a reasonably active conspiracy forum. There's many thousands of users on there talking about different kinds of conspiracy theories. And so we wanted to see if we could kind of test this monological idea by looking at the ways that people talked about conspiracies on this Reddit forum. So we were able to get a really large data set of all of the comments on that forum from 2007 to about halfway through 2015. So it was a couple of million different comments. And we used some linguistic analysis techniques to sort of look for common patterns in the way that language was used. And essentially what we found out from this analysis was that people weren't as homogenous or similar as the monological perspective would predict. We actually found quite distinct pockets of users talking about fairly different conspiracies and talking about conspiracies in different ways. So our findings kind of go against the monological idea fairly strongly.
Yeah, no, it definitely is interesting. I know that the research did find that there were true believers who did follow this pattern. How come that was split into two different categories?
Right. So what we did was we kind of came up with about 12 different categories, and we just gave them labels based on the typical sorts of comments from people within those groups. And we did have these true believers groups. We've called them true believers one and two. And they came out as two different groups really just as a result of the way that these statistical techniques worked. So they essentially, our analysis came up with two groups that were quite similar, and so we've just labeled them in that way to show that really these are probably there's probably not as much difference between these two groups as the other groups that we identified.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the most important questions when talking about this topic, why do you think people do believe in conspiracy theories?
Well, that's a really core question. And it's not really a question we were able to answer too directly with our research. I mean, we were looking at language patterns in the way that people talk about conspiracies. And so we sort of get some insight into that by the types of groups that came out. And what we've argued in our paper and our research is that people are really involved with conspiracies for quite different reasons. So there certainly were groups like the true believers that you mentioned that are more like the stereotypical idea of people who have a great variety of different conspiracy beliefs and explain most things in that way. But we also found people engaging with conspiracies for quite different reasons. We had some people group. We had a group, for example, that we labeled the anti-imperialists, who most of their communication about conspiracies was quite critical of global politics and of the sort of way that governments in general influence people's lives. And so it seems that engagement with conspiracies for those kinds of groups may be a way to kind of express that frustration. We also had some, what you could say were more negative groups, people who were using conspiracies for communication that was quite racist or that might otherwise be quite unacceptable. And so it may be that there are some people kind of using conspiracy theories as a way to express those kinds of ideas.
Yeah, definitely. I was doing some research myself on some conspiracy theories last night, so able to get kind of a view on what people were thinking. Some of the big ones that I do know of are obviously 9/11. A lot of people do have quite some conspiracy theories about that one as well. Why do you think people have kind of come to this conclusion? Why do you think that it's something that they feel is able to either be proven or to obviously being proven wrong?
Well, I mean, something like 9/11 and the conspiracies around that. I mean, the Trade Center towers collapsing was such an extreme event that people were shocked and looking for some kind of way of understanding what had gone on. And it's such an unusual event and such an unusual attack that I think that it was kind of the sort of event that leads quite easily into conspiracy kinds of reasoning, because there is, already a kind of, within conspiracy communities, distrust of government narratives in general. And so because there was this particularly striking event, that was something that people latched onto a lot. More generally, I mean, the sorts of questions that you're asking about why people believe conspiracy theories, I think are really important questions for us to understand in terms of making sense of the way that people have trust in all sorts of institutions, whether that's governments that you may or may not be skeptical about, but even broader institutions such as the way that we think about science or media and all of those things. It seems like that we are at kind of a time where there is this big erosion of trust in all of these institutions. And so looking at what happens with conspiracy beliefs, which in many cases is probably a more extreme example of trust breakdown, can be helpful in understanding what goes on in general kind of belief evaluation.
Yeah, definitely. I think a big part of it as well does come down to people obviously trying to make sense of something that does seem maybe too much of a coincidence to them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So definitely some of the groups that we identified seemed like they became engaged with conspiracies due to some kind of personal experience. So we had one group that was essentially very angry at police, and a lot of the communication from those people seemed to be related to interactions they'd had or people they'd known that where they felt that they've been treated very unfairly. And it's quite understandable that someone can have that kind of reaction, and then when they share stories with other people who've had similar kinds of experiences, then there's kind of a reinforcement and a growth of those kinds of beliefs.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for coming on to our show.
Oh, really happy to talk about the research. Thanks.